back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And you brought us two picks of the week this week.
I did. Very excited. Dozens of viewers are eagerly awaiting our picks of the weeks, as they do every week.
That's right. That's right. We've been getting a lot of angry calls since you've missed having that pick of the week a couple weeks ago. So let's jump right into it. So this is big. This is IIS Express, baby.
Yeah, so Scott Guthrie blogged about this. And, you know, this hasn't released yet. They're looking to release it, I think he mentioned, next week. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to have sort of a go-between between what was called Cassini, which was the personal web development server, and full IIS.
Right.
So full IIS, when in Visual Studio, you'd have to do the, you need to serve Visual Studio in administrative mode.
Yep.
You need to do some configuration, and it had features.
It has features that Cassini does not, or personal web development server does not.
Yeah, so we got SSL, URL rewriting, so all the there's a number of features that you would, for example, want in this, and the idea here is IIS Express gives you those features. You can start without having an admin account, and it also has a nice feature, the folder.
Oh, yeah, you can right-click on a folder and say, basically, turn this into a virtual directory for IIS Express, and it'll open that up as if it's a website. Xcopy deployable, under 10 megs, and works on Windows XP.
Yeah,
so I can use it.
This is big. Yeah. I think this is very cool. And speaking of other announcements, it was SQL Compact Edition 4.
Right.
Now, we have had a Compact Edition before, but it was targeted at Windows applications, meaning, hey, I want to embed some, my application needs some data, I'm going to store that data, and I want to be able to store it in a relational way. Right?
Lightweight, relational, redistributable, free way, yeah.
Right, without having to run a service that I would, or the install things that have to happen for SQL Server, SQL Server Express.
Right.
So SQL Compact Edition 4 is taking some of those same themes and applying it to web applications.
Gotcha.
So you can deploy as a file. So it's a file-based database, if you will, that's then deployed onto a server. So you don't, like, say if you're using a hoster, you do not need to install, you don't need to sign up for their database plan to use SQL Compact Edition.
Gotcha.
And they've done all the things to make sure that if you are on a shared hosting environment, which means it's the cheaper plans, if you will, so like maybe you'll find something for like $19.95 in shared hosting, that you can have multiple databases, and there isn't going to be an effect of one person's database affecting another person's application.
Right. So
they've done all the things to sort of do the isolation to just make it Xcopy deployable. So a lot of cool things. It is supported by Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. You get designer experience, but it is a lightweight database. So you can use things like Link, but say if you needed to have like, you know, infinite scale or something crazy.
Clustering, reporting services, synchronization, those things aren't supported.
There's a lot of stuff where you want to really just in terms of high performance website, like Facebook isn't going to run, you know, on SQL Compact Edition. Maybe it'll run on billions of versions of them, though.
But Friendster might.
Oh, sorry. That's good. That's good.
So speaking of friends, our friend Brian Goldfarb was on Channel 9 this week talking about Pivot Viewer. So this is Silverlight Pivot Viewer. So this is a Silverlight control that you can use to basically put, if you're familiar with the pivot charts that exist, pivot tables over in Microsoft Excel, you can now incorporate those within your Silverlight applications and give users the ability to filter through and pivot on multiple sources of data.
Yeah, so the idea is, you know, I have tons of data. How do I visualize or manipulate or get an understanding of the kinds of data that's within there? So this is definitely cool stuff. It's available for developers, including the tools to learn how to build these pivots, mm-hmm. and then to be able to visualize them. And Silverlight definitely makes sense given the images and all that good stuff. So a lot of good stuff, and kudos to the team.
Nice. I still have a Friendster account, by the way.
Do you really?
Yeah, occasionally I get the mails that are like, hey, Friendster just added new support. I'm just like, way to go, guys. Good job. They're apparently pretty big in Asia.
We're not dead yet.
So MSDN site redesign. So I love the look and feel of this, just a kind of a much cleaner look and feel. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot to focus on helping you pivot based on the type of application that you're building. Look at that. How many times can we get it in there? And also to help you find, you know, am I just looking for product? and technology information, kind of 200-level content, or am I ready to really learn about how to use it? So they've done a total site re-architecture here.
Yeah, and I think there's also the getting started stuff that really goes through, like, hey, what is a cloud application? Mm-hmm. How do I get started? What are the tools? And make it sort of really simple to all on one page.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Simple, clean.
Yeah, this is a really hard job, too. I mean, if you think about, like, sometimes we look at our competitors' sites, and they do a pretty good job of organizing their information, and we say, you know, why can't we be more like them? But the reality is that Microsoft just has so much breadth and depth across all of our different technologies. There's a lot of developer material to cover. I mean, even going back to, like, VB5, VB6, right? So there's a long legacy. So
I think that's an issue. Is one of the problems Microsoft always faces is we'll build options for this. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying this is our one way, we're going to give you this language on this platform. With this platform, you only have these languages. With this, you only have this. And
overwhelmed by choice sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it ends up being this crazy flowchart.
Yeah.
For in file new project, what do I want to do?
Yeah, but we're trying to get better, trying to improve the information architecture to help you make those decisions and get
correct.
The information you need. So, okay, so here's a religious argument.
Okay.
XAML formatting. Do you put everything kind of on one line, have inline statements that describe your objects and all the different property bags that go with those, or do you maybe take up more vertical real estate and then put carriage returns and kind of put everything like you see on the screen here.
So maybe we should get T-shirts. Team vertical, team horizontal. Is that that's kind of
team
the...
Jolie, team Aniston.
Yeah.
You know, normally we disagree on just about everything, but I think we actually agree this is the way to go.
Yeah. So and that being vertical.
Vertical
for readability. Because I used to be a guy that doing SQL statements would always go left to right, blah blah blah, mm-hmm. blah blah blah, until I like almost had to cut back, and now I do. You know, select those fields from
database,
blah, blah, blah,
site class,
where
whatever, yeah.
Database site blocks,
yep.
of course.
Yep.
So it definitely makes sense to do this in for XAML formatting as well.
Yeah.
I think it's just very easy to scan and read. Only problem is, you know, it is going to make for a longer document. But is that really
yeah.
better readability?
Bytes are free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So thanks to David Annan for raising this one. And so Pete Brown... friend of the show. We all know where Pete lives. Hi, Pete. This is his post talking about how you would go about debugging and deconstructing a WPF application. So he shows
and
two tools.
Yeah, these tools are awesome.
Yeah, so one is WPF
Inspector.
And
if you can see here, I don't know, he has a screenshot that we grabbed where he actually can walk up, see that Expression Blend is running, and because Expression Blend is a WPF app, he can actually go in into the tree and change the background color. So he's basically hacking the real app while it's running and be able to do that. So this is awesome. This to me is very firebug-ish, if you will, for WPF, be able to change real-time properties.
Sure.
For WPF. And then there is our good friend Snoop over here.
This is awesome. I love this.
So it's a 3D visualization of controls, and it's handy if, for example, you say have controls that aren't visible, say based on user selection, mm-hmm. or you know, you go to advanced properties and there would be a trigger that would say animate something down. You can kind of get the visual feel of how all the controls lay out in a 3D model.
That's awesome.
So these are both super useful tools.
And I love how the automatically generated ads on this particular post are for local home inspections. So $50 off home inspection. That seems like a good deal right there. So
Yeah, and it makes sense for WPF inspections.
Yeah, exactly. I have a WPF app I need you to inspect. Can you get right on that?
Well, I thought they'd have Snoop Doggy Dogg or concert tickets available.
That's another good one, too.
Yeah.
So this one's neat. .NET Micro Framework team, they have a new Codeplex project where they're basically taking the .NET Micro Framework and they're adapting it for bicycles. So you can mm-hmm. imagine all sorts of different, you know, things you might want to compute on your bicycle, distance traveled and
well, you got GPS so that you can send real-time data, you can see weather reports, you know, it's touch-enabled. There's a lot of cool stuff that can actually happen here, and they're doing mm-hmm. a sort of step-by-step article on how to do it, including the hardware that they're purchasing.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I think we should put MicroFramework in more ludicrous places. I think we need to really brainstorm about what is the stupidest place we could put MicroFramework in, and then do it.
Nice. Hot air balloon.
See?
Yeah.
See? This is what I'm saying.
There you go. All right,
this
is
awesome.
There's
only one button. It's up. Let's see what happens when you press it this time.
This is awesome. So this is first of all, this is cool because it's a proposal to add zip support to system.io in a future version of the .NET framework. So that in alone in itself is cool. But also, I love the fact that this guy Richard Lee, he's an intern at Microsoft for the summer, and he's basically put together this post asking for your feedback because this is his project to go out and figure out how we would implement zip in system.io. Mm-hmm. So how awesome of an intern assignment is that? I mean, normally we just have him like bring us coffee and like sweep the floors and stuff. But he'll be able to point to the fact that if this does officially make it into the framework someday, that's zip, which, you know, lots of people are dying to get into the framework.
Yeah, I think this is one of those cool. I was waiting for you to make a snarky comment about J Sharp has had this since version one.
We have. Yeah.
This is really cool. And you know, BCL is one of those things where you get these like features that everyone is going to use where you're just like, oh my god, I love it. And yeah. I had to add an exclamation mark when I heard that they were getting zip support because I was that excited. So, but yeah, this is very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And send your feedback.
Yeah, and I have to wonder, like, will it support 7-zip and all that jazz? Or
Yeah. Are they just, yeah.
Just one.
What algorithms are they supporting?
Yeah, there's lots of different compression stuff out there. Like, remember the whole, like, LHZ and RAR, well, those are the popular ones, but back in the BBS days, there were like, I mean, dozens of different, I had like a util folder full of different things to compress and uncompress stuff.
Okay, Grandpa.
Yeah, back in my day.
Okay, so JSON Data Visualizer. This is a CodePlex project, or Code Project. Last one was a CodePlex project. This is a Code Project article that shows how you can build something to visualize JSON data. So, say I want to walk up to Facebook's API, YouTube's API, these APIs that return JSON data, it can be kind of hard to read JSON data and understand what the structure is. So this allow you to, you know, type in what the URL is, get the return data, and then actually have pivot on different ways to view that data. So you can look at the raw data, you can look at it in Tabular, you can look at, there's another JavaScript project that allows you to have it sort of organized and structured. So a really good way to say, if you're just playing with the URL for data, for JSON data, and you want to have a way to sort of navigate their data, this is a really cool way. And
great.
It's all open source.
Awesome. PEX for fun. So our friend Pelle sent us this submission here. So basically, it's showing how PEX can be used to actually solve a what did you call that? Like a quadratic equation, or gosh, it's been so long since I've taken those classes. But basically, here's a you know, solving for x and y with Fibonacci sequence.
I see a Fibonacci sequence. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So lots of stuff I don't understand, but what I do understand is you can click Ask PEX and it'll come back with the answer. So for all those kids out there trying to do their homework, you can get PEX to do this. And basically, PEX is really good at finding bounds and finding different ways to exercise all the different code paths within your application. And so here they're using that to basically, you know, I guess they're changing the values of X and Y and looking at which direction it's heading. Is it heading closer or further away from the solution? And then arriving at whatever the actual solution needs to be.
This is cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
You can throw this at, you know, those like little cardboard bouncy bubble things where it's like, okay, you have this many moves and you need to remove, like those peg games where you're trying to eliminate and there's only one ball left.
Oh, the
whatever.
Ones they have at Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, you know, yeah. Those kind of things. Yeah. Like, just do that. Do a little mathematical solver for it.
Yeah, definitely. You won't get beat up if you do that at school. So, Charles is asking, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? Really? That's
what
the question?
What do you want to know? Yeah, so this is, the idea here is, you know, our fiscal years run July through June.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I said June through July, and that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
July through June. And the idea being is, you know, we have our next fiscal year. We're thinking about, like, what other cool stuff we'd want to do. Nobody wants to see This Week on Channel 9, by the way. Everybody, you know, wants to see some crazy stuff. They want us to be out of the studio too. That was another thing.
Out a lot of the studio.
Yeah, yeah. They want us to be in people's offices and stuff.
On location in Hawaii.
Yes, actually, yeah. We need to find Craig Science still there. Yeah, we'll go there.
No, not anymore. But okay, so basically your chance to get feedback and help influence our fiscal planning around Channel 9.
Give us feedback. And in fact, we're actually thinking about, rather than, say, doing a contest, potentially doing some open source projects where, for example, we can get people to help contribute to a project like, say, building system.io.zip.
Or putting the .NET micro framework in a hot air balloon.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. All right. So what's this? The phone action pack sample?
Yeah. So this includes, this is, it's
Windows Phone 7.
Windows Phone 7, CodePlex project. Mm-hmm. It is iterating quickly. So they're doing 2-week iterations. But the idea is to have a bunch of stuff that helps you build Windows Phone applications. So this includes things like for the accelerometer, to know whether you've changed from portrait to landscape, to do control triggers, a set of controls, things for mapping, design time experience for Expression Blend. So just a lot of different things to make the experience of building Windows Phone 7 applications that much better.
That's cool.
So, and the other cool part is there's several videos that actually walk you through using it. So,
okay, and do these work on Kin?
Oh, nothing works on Kin.
Nothing works on Kin.
Picks of the week.
So my pick of the week. This is actually my baby. So I just shipped the RTM version of the Visual Studio 2010 virtual machine. So this is pre-configured with Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate, Team Foundation Server 2010 Ultimate. Has a bunch of sample data within TFS, 9 hands-on labs that you can go through to learn about application lifecycle management scenarios, and so everything from like testing to architecture tools using TFS new branching and merging visualization, and I'll be adding to that list over time. So if there's things you want to see, specific scenarios you'd love additional labs created on, let me know. But you can download this. I've got it in the virtualization platform of your choice, Hyper-V Virtual PC, Windows 7 Virtual PC, and it's ready to roll. This one will expire December 15th, 2010, and then I'll have a new one probably beginning of December that will last for another 6 months after that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And so this is, if you want to play with Visual Studio 2010, mm-hmm. but you don't want to install it on your machine, or maybe you can install it on your machine.
Or
who's it for?
Well, so
what's the scenario?
So yes, that's a good scenario. So if you don't want to install Visual Studio, or you can install Visual Studio, and you just want a sandbox environment to kind of kick the tires and understand how it works and the improvements we made, this is one good scenario. Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to kind of go through a guided experience and learn how like some of the manual testing capabilities work, play with coded UI tests, which is a new test type, play with TFS 2010.
So you don't have to set up all the TFS 2010 stuff. And although the TFS, you know, has been made a lot easier. TFS Basic.
It has. So if you wanted to just download the TFS 2010 trial, you could get that set up on your box, even Windows 7 or Windows Vista. You don't need a server anymore.
Right.
You get that set up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But what you won't have unless you take a look at my virtual machine is sample data. So I've got a bunch of work items in there. I've got a bunch of builds that are already generated. As you're playing with the Microsoft...
You didn't insult me on any of these work items, right? It's not like...
No, that would be a great idea, though. Yeah.
Shave Dan's head at night.
So, basically, if you wanted to go through some of those scenarios and understand the way that tests link back to requirements and run through some sample tests and have a sample app you can play with, then this is for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so pick of the week number one.
Yes.
Our friend of the show, we'll call him a friend of the show, sure, Karsten.
Yeah, Jan Mikowski.
Yes. Built the Archivist. So the Archivist actually launched the Archivist. Mm-hmm. Archivist, one, started off as a desktop tool to basically record tweets for a specific subject. So one of the problems is for Twitter, mm-hmm. their search and, like, you will lose tweets. You can't access tweets after, say,
right.
a certain amount of time or go back within a search. I think it's like 5,000 results or something.
And 20 posts or something like that, yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a certain number of pages and then 25 per page or something like that. The idea with the Archivist is you can actually set this up and then track it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses Azure Worker Rules, for example, to continually sort of like poll and ping those comments. So you can basically see what is tweets over time for specific people, and in this case, top users by tweet count for a specific subject, and those sort of things.
So I'm actually tracking Brian Keller because,
you
know, I'm superficial like that. And there's another Brian Keller out there that people tweet about, and he's like a Christian evangelist.
Oh, no.
So I'm a technical evangelist. He's a Christian evangelist.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it is kind of
interesting. Does he have more followers than you?
I should check. Yeah, I should
check. God, we need to beat that guy. We will start up. I will build 10,000 Twitter accounts. You will be the number one Brian Keller on...
Thank you.
On Twitter.
I hope so.
Back to Carson. Kudos. This is a very cool project, and it's one that's just great to use. So,
yeah, definitely.
Everyone go home and add in Brian Keller.
Cool.
And my second one is I'm a Netflix subscriber. I use the Roku.
I use the Xbox 360 to stream.
I use the Xbox 360 to stream downstairs.
Okay.
But Roku upstairs. And this allows you to do go through all the data that they have for Netflix Instant Movies.
So the big thing here is that Netflix recently exposed an OData feed.
Yes.
So OData, new technology for exposing your data, giving programmers access to create cool front ends and clients. And so our friend Steve Marks went out and created a really cool kind of deep zoom view of looking across all the different movies that are available on demand from Netflix. And I'm not even sure that this captures all the movies, because I was looking for a couple that I know are in there and I couldn't find them. But there's thousands on this page. So
OData.
Mm-hmm. OData.
Azure.
Silverlight.
Pivot Viewer.
Oh, right.
Which Silverlight requires Pivot Silverlight.
Yep.
So a lot of cool stuff here. And, yeah, I did a search to see, because, I mean, you know you're going to be in that conversation, Kevin Bacon movies, and you want to be able to see, you know, pictures or something like that.
Yeah.
Then again, you need probably good IMDb. But there's a lot of cool stuff here.
Yeah.
And it goes, clicks directly to the thing. So kudos to those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Well,
thank you for fulfilling your pick of the week backlog. We can stop dealing with those angry mails.
I know. Thank you. Yep. Please stop emailing.
And for those of you in the U.S., have a safe and happy 4th, and we'll see you next week.
I knew we should have lit you on fire.